This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Presents Football Friday.
Nix from the shotgun takes a snap. Can run if he wants to. Nix to the five. Nix to the goal line. Touchdown, Denver. Their first lead over the Bengals, 6-3.
Sarka designing all out. Finds his tight end. That'll be a touchdown. Rowan Fleischman. Air Force answers a wonderful drive by White with a wonderful drive of their own.
CSU didn't have any highlights, so...
It's going to be Miller again, keeps it, plows his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffaloes!
Yeah, ESPN didn't actually call Wyoming's only touchdown, so here's this.
Two really important players for a Wyoming team that doesn't have a ton of big-time weapons on offense. And now playing from behind, wide open across the middle. One of those tight ends, and what a move! Forget what I said about no weapons. That's Evan Swoboda, who last year was the starting quarterback.
Now R.J. Harvey, the outside of two left, resets to the left of Nix. He catches wide open, swing pass, walks into the end zone, the easiest touchdown of the early season. Nix to Harvey, touchdown Denver.
Well done, Michael. Way to improvise there. Good job by you. You know, clips are hard to find when you got a lot of bad football.
Yeah, well, the one that bothered me was... the ESPN one with Wyoming, that it was a great touchdown, and I think they had a review talking over it. And so there was no commentary.
Well, that must have been from the CU game then, because they didn't play last week. Maybe that's why you couldn't find the clip.
Well, no, it was that actual game.
Oh, okay. Well, it is Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. Man, they loaded it up. They brought in a bunch of goodies for the... Wine at Nine review with Good Morning NoCo. Burger was ridiculous. I tried some of that. Michael, you tried. You did great. You didn't eat the whole burger. There was a burger left over.
I cut it in fourths.
Well, that
and
was
cut is yeah. in quotations because I tried.
It was kind of mangled there. It's hard to cut a hamburger sometimes when there's a bunch of stuff on it. So I'll give you a pass.
I've seen it done on TV, and I was like, oh, well, I can do this. I'm not a food expert, but I can do this. And boy,
you could not.
I cannot do that.
Yeah, but it was the thought that counts. You didn't just scarf down the burger. You cut it in fourths for Derbs and I, since we didn't get to participate.
Yeah,
so we appreciate you.
It was basically a burger salad once I got done with it.
Boy, the steak. Was really good.
It was very good.
That was Big City Roadhouse, man.
Roadhouse.
You know, I was like, oh, it's going to be wings and pizza, but no, they're doing everything over there. And then they just announced they're doing breakfast burritos and everything. So Big City Roadhouse, you guys got to check this place out. It is a Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. Unfortunately, Mike, we are 3-2 on Thursday night. I blame the Avalanche. I blame the Avalanche for last night's loss.
Do go on.
Well, the Colorado Avalanche, every player on the roster showed up. Now, again, Kroenke also owns the Los Angeles Rams. The entire roster, I believe the entire roster, or quite a bit of them, showed up to the game. No problem. Don't have an issue with it. They all wore Rams jerseys and took a team photo on the football field last night. I don't like that. I get it's Kroenke's team. He owns the team. I don't have a problem if, like, a couple of Avs are up there, and there's Nathan McKinnon, there's Cale Makar, and we got a shot of them, maybe even wearing a jersey, sitting in the suite. All right. I don't mind it. Whatever. It's not great, but whatever. The team photo was weird to me. That's an organized, I mean, because it's an empty stadium. They're out there on the field. Nobody's there yet. And they take a team photo wearing Los Angeles Rams stuff. That is Kroenke flipping the bird to your Denver Broncos, Mike. How do you feel about that?
It feels like the Walmarts should buy the Avalanche.
Well, no, I don't know about that. I think the Kroenkes have done a pretty good job.
Yeah, they've done a pretty good job, but guess what? That's offensive.
That's offensive.
That's un-American.
Right? Now, I didn't like when the Avalanche tweeted out, congratulations to Travis Kelce and Trisha Yearwood or whatever. What? Oh, my gosh. What's her name? I just totally blanked on her name.
I don't know her name either.
Tanner showed me some songs of Taylor Swift. Wow. Trisha Yearwood. Same thing. She wrote a song about, it's a kid's show. She wrote a song about Travis Kelce's, it's a song about it. Like, this is a song. Like, are people going to be singing to that? I didn't want to hear that. Tanner had the song playing after Smash or Trash, and I listened to it, and it was a song. Got to know Travis Kelce really well. So that was weird. But anyway, I digress. I didn't love it when the Avs Twitter congratulated a rival tight end on his engagement. We can all be good humans, but not in the sports context. The person that runs that Twitter account could absolutely by themselves congratulate Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. But as the Avs,
no.
It was a rough look. And then the group photo of the Avalanche wearing Rams jerseys at the game last night.
Like, are they getting bonus checks?
I don't know, but I get it. The owner of the team says, we're gonna hook you guys up. You know, we're gonna treat you right. We're gonna bring you to the game. It's a big Thursday night game. And here's jerseys, but they're like, okay, maybe it wasn't the entire roster, but it was a lot. Mike, there it is. You're looking. Like, I don't like, that's what I didn't like, was the group photo. Where they're all together in their Los Angeles Rams jerseys. That was, and again, it's their names, it's their numbers on the jerseys, but it's still the Rams.
I mean, to me, if you want to, aren't the Kroenkes like part Canadian?
I don't know. What is that?
Well, like,
have to.
I don't know. I guess I thought maybe he was, but like to explain this to. Like, say, to someone else, you just have to take something that's important to that person and just say, okay, if you like country music, like, just imagine this country music person, you know, wearing a shirt of something that you absolutely hate and saying, hey, congratulations to this thing that you absolutely hate.
This
is wrong.
I just didn't like the optics of the group photo. Again, if you see Nathan MacKinnon attending a game as a guest of Kroenke's and he's sitting up there in the suite and get a couple of shots of him wearing a jersey, just enjoying a football game. And you know, I'm listening to people that say this is why are so many people upset with this? Dude, Rams fans, not that there's many, but apparently we have an entire roster of them living in Colorado. Rams fans are probably like, wow. You guys can't, things are so rough there, you can't even support your own team. You're here supporting the Rams. And then the Rams would have to shut up because they were the only people wearing Rams jerseys last night. Colorado Avalanche were pretty much the only Rams fans there last night.
Wasn't there an actor in the stadium who was wearing a 49ers jersey?
No idea. I don't know.
Yeah, they were promoting something on Amazon.
But there was a lot of red. There was a lot of red there for the 49ers. So, what home field advantage? I mean, they're booing the Rams. That's tough. At least we don't have to deal with that here. But I digress. I didn't like it. Your thoughts on it? Big Hub says, yeah, that confused me a lot, seeing the Avs at the Rams. And again, it does clear it up a little bit. The Kroenkes own the Los Angeles Rams. So and people are already like, well, that's why, Brady. Well, there's ways to do it, and there's ways not to do it. I always say that I think Lamar Jackson is the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment. Michael, I will not wear a Lamar Jackson jersey. You will not see me wearing a jersey of another team outside of my beloved state of Colorado teams. And I know that they're not Coloradoans and didn't grow up loving the Broncos. They don't have to be fans of the Broncos. That, to me, was just like, this is our team. I'm bringing my Avs over to support. I thought it was a weird look. I'll be done with it after today. But if the Rams and the Broncos happen to meet in the Super Bowl, you know people are going to throw that out there. That's going to be trash talk fodder for the Rams of your own Stanley Cup winning Avs team can't even support you guys.
Well, guess what? They're the number four franchise in the state of Colorado. So, sorry, guys. People buy Broncos tickets before they'll buy your tickets.
I don't know if I'd go number four.
Are you calling the Nuggets number four?
No. I mean, Rockies are number... Are we talking success, or are we talking people that care?
I'm talking about popularity.
Well, it's hockey versus baseball and basketball. I think hockey is still...
It should be Broncos Nuggets, in my opinion. But
if the Rockies could sniff success, it would be Broncos Rockies. And if the Rockies could be like if the Rockies could win a World Series and be a perennial playoff team like the Yankees or the Dodgers, this state, we don't know. I can't prove it because it's never happened. But I remember Rocktober. Rocktober was crazier than anything the Avs and the Nuggets have ever done. You know, when the Nuggets went to the championship, nothing like Rocktober. When the Avs won their Stanley Cups, nothing like Rocktober. Exciting, great times, but I maintain that this state is chomping at the bit to become a partial Rockies state. They just haven't been given that opportunity, but they're still going. Big Hub, as you choosing the Rams when Niners fans packed that place out year after year was a bad move. Not necessarily. I mean, the Niners didn't have their best tight end. They didn't have their starting quarterback, had a lot of guys out on defense. I wasn't the only one that thought the Rams were going to easily win this game. When the Rams are on, they're lethal. Should have won the game. They're down three with, what, around a minute left, and they fumble the ball on the Niners' one-yard line, end up getting the ball back and tied the game, but that kept you from winning or losing that game. And it's tough to put it on one play like that, but the fumble there was a minute 47 left when they called the play, or when they were on that final drive and they were rolling, they went down easy. And then Williams got the ball with a minute 7 left, ran it to the San Francisco 2 for 1 yard and fumbled the ball. And San Francisco recovered. The Rams get a quick three and out. They had all three timeouts, call the timeouts, get the ball about midfield, and then they march down to get a field goal. And then San Francisco gets the opening kick. They go down and get a field goal. Almost missed it. I think it doinked in between the uprights. And then the Rams had a chance, but turnover on downs. Lose the game in overtime. You know, you can't win them all, Mike. And listen, if this game would have been at San Francisco, I still would have picked the Rams. So the fan base thing didn't deter me on that. The Rams are a good team. The Niners just played a little outside of themselves given the injuries. That game has me really pondering Broncos-Eagles. It just has me, because anything can happen. And the Niners should have absolutely lost that game based on who they had available. But they found a way to get it done. It was a great game. I mean, it looked like San Francisco might run away for a moment, but the Rams kept coming back. Christian McCaffrey was great. He had 57 yards rushing, but 82 yards receiving and a touchdown. I mean, he was awesome. Kendrick Bourne is a stud. 10 receptions, 142 yards. That guy was making play after play after play for the 49ers. And then Juszczyk. I have a hard time with that. You're getting the chance for their fullback. Dude, we need a guy like him. We need a dude like him. Things would be... Because that guy could play tight end. He could play fullback. He's got great hands. He's an excellent, excellent player. And just made timely plays. The numbers aren't blowing you up. He had 21 yards receiving, but the catches came at very big times for the 49ers. But the 49ers win 26-23. Did not like the Avalanche jersey thing. Not crazy about that. But you know what? Like I said, we bitch about it today. We move on. We're not probably going to talk about it again unless the Rams and the Broncos are in the Super Bowl. I'm sure there will be some social media stuff.
There will be a lot of anger. A lot of anger. There's a lot of anger right now. I'm never going to let it go. Yeah, I don't let these things go. In sports world.
So it really bothers you. I got a texter. The outrage over this is spectacularly dumb. When your begillionaire owner tells you to get on a plane, fly to L.A. and wear the jersey, you blanking do it with a smile on your face. Well, okay.
I'm not mad at the players.
If he told the players to do it, it's cronky. I'm not saying it's just the players' fault that they chose to do this. But, dude, they're, like, there with their phones and filming everything. It's like they're in awe of it. It's amazing. I don't know, man. The more I watch it, yeah, the more I have a problem with it. They should be doing that at a Broncos game. But I get it. You own the Rams, and you want to promote the Rams.
How many of them actually like football, though?
Who knows? And like I said, you talk to an individual, and they're like, hey, are you a Broncos fan? And they're kind of like, yeah, you know, I don't really watch football. I don't know. But, yeah, I hope they win. Fine. I don't care. It's just strange to me.
Do you ask McKinnon, hey, McKinnon, how many Alouettes games do you go to? And he'll be like, Alouettes, who's that? That's a Canadian football.
Okay, I was like, you're speaking a different language to me right now. I have no idea what you're talking about. Big City Roadhouse is our Football Friday sponsor. You guys got to try. I mean, everything I've tried, I know. You guys listen. Yes, they're advertising. They pay for advertising on this station. We are a locally owned and operated radio station. We fortunately get the opportunity to find businesses that make sense that we feel comfortable promoting. Now, we've had places that we're like, I'm not even going to go after that place because I don't know, I've heard bad things. I loved cables. You guys know me. I've been a cables fan my whole life, ever since I've been up here in Northern Colorado. And then when I knew cables was going to sell the building and all the resources and everything, I was pretty bummed out, but then I hear the owners of Big City Burrito are going to purchase this, and I didn't know if they were going to turn it into a Big City Burrito, but I was excited about it, and then come to find out they're going to make it like a tavern, a roadhouse. It is awesome. I would start, my favorite so far has probably been the pizza, but I don't think you can go wrong. I mean, they've got the burgers now, the Roadhouse Burgers. They do steak. They do breakfast burritos. They have a Big City Burrito. They got a kids menu. Excellent drinks. They got a curated selection of margaritas, including margarita flights, so you can try a bunch of different ones if you want. Man, it's Friday. Stop by Big City Roadhouse. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by Chevron.
The more you mention their pizza, the more angry I get that I haven't tried one of their pizza.
Well, I've tried everything
mad
else.
I don't have a car, so I could just drive down there right now.
Well, you got the scooter. You could probably get halfway there. You could probably find a charging station and charge it for
just
a bit.
A regular plug.
Yeah, that would be nice. 23 minutes after the hour, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight, is going to join me at the bottom of the hour. The Eagles are undefeated, but they're not particularly good in any stat category. In fact, they're pretty average, but they've had a lot of great special teams play. They had a blocked punt against Tampa Bay last week that led to it that was a touchdown. They had two blocked field goals against the Rams. Special teams matters, and their special teams is something to watch out for, as the Broncos have kind of had some snags in that department the last couple of seasons. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. It is a Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. Big one tonight. Colorado State going up against Santiago State. Must win for Jay Norvell? That's my question for you guys today, is how's this game going down? Are the Rams winning? Are the Rams covering? Are the Rams losing? Are the Rams not covering? And 34% of the Hooligans, which is leading, say Rams are losing. This could be a long night for Jay Norvell and company. We'll see. Or maybe not. Maybe they flip the script. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. Just so happens that's today. We'll be right back.
Fall is nearly here, and that means football is on KFKA. Preps, college, pros, and the Broncos. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Got our game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. It's New Belgium's Atomic Pumpkin, a seasonal blast of pure pumpkin goodness. Get your six-pack today before they're gone. I mean, it's October 3rd, man. This is the time. If you like that pumpkin stuff, if you like the Oktoberfest-style brews, you got to get in there and check it out at On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. Coming up next, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Do the Broncos stand a chance against the Philadelphia Eagles, the arguably the best team in the NFL? You look at me like I'm crazy, but everyone looks at you like you're crazy because you think the Broncos are going to win every game. So don't give me that.
You said, do the Broncos stand a chance?
Do they?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's find out. Benjamin Albright coming up next. Let's talk Broncos Eagles here on a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. It's The Whole Show. We'll be right back. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Monster test coming up this weekend for the Broncos as they get set to take on the defending Super Bowl champs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Joining me now to help us break into that one and maybe determine if he really believes the Broncos have a shot here this weekend, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Benjamin, my friend, great to catch up with you. Missed you last week. I was off last week. Had a, not mine, but my child's tonsils. Had a little tonsillectomy action going on. So not a fun week at my house.
No, not so fun. But glad that's all taken care of and cleared up, and you're back in the driver's seat where you belong.
Yeah, back here, ready to go, talking Broncos football with you. And, you know, last we saw this Broncos team, they go up against a bad Bengals team. It's amazing how Joe Burrow just makes that team what it is. And then when you take him off, it kind of reminds me of the Colts the year that they, you know, when Peyton Manning was out for the season and they were the worst team in football. It kind of looks like that when you're watching this Bengals team, but the Broncos take advantage and they left no doubt winning 28-3, almost everything you'd like to see in a game like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you got to handle business against the teams you got to handle business against. The idea of getting back to 2-2 versus 1-3, I know there's a there, but the reality is the world of difference. You know, 2-2, you're already at 500. 1-3, you can't get to 500 till week 6. So it's, you know, there's a world of difference in that, and a psychological difference that I think is helping this team out. And you had the opportunity to kind of work a few things out and try a few things out. I still think we threw the ball a little too much, but trying to get the offense, the passing offense on track, I sort of get it. So we'll see how that carries forward this week.
What did you see from Bo Nix? I mean, a couple things you like. I mean, obviously a lot of the discussion around the Broncos is going to continue to be the growth and progression of Bo Nix. 326 yards, 2 touchdowns, did have the interception he threw in the end zone. But like you said, threw it 42 times. A lot of tosses for Bo Nix.
Yeah, and the dropbacks were even more than that because some of those he took off and ran on. So we were close to 50 times dropping back in that game against a bad Bengals team. That's a wrong answer. We definitely don't need to be doing that late in the season. You know, the run game was working. I would have liked to have seen Bidet get some more carries. But that's neither here nor there. I think it was just really about trying to get the timing down on the offense and get some of these receivers in rhythm. We saw Troy have a couple of drops, didn't like that. But you know, Bo's been hit or miss the first couple of weeks, and I think they just want to get him settled down, get him comfortable, get him in a rhythm, and see if that'll carry forward to Philadelphia.
Well, and it was nice to see. It's still, I wouldn't mind. I know J.K. Dobbins has the injury history there, but, you know, you get 16 carries for him. R.J. Harvey finally got some carries, 14 carries, a good chunk there. But you finally get over that hump and you get a 100-yard rusher with J.K. Dobbins. I mean, Benjamin, if he can stay healthy, if you keep feeding him the rock, I mean, wouldn't you imagine we're going to see more of these type of games?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're going to see, I think that split was a little bit high. They knew they wanted to get Harvey some extra work if they got out to a big lead. I don't think Harvey's going to get that many carries in most other games. It'll be Dobbins with the lion's share of that kind of stuff. They did want to get him some work, though, and they did. I think the main thing now is trying to get the tight end position going. Evan Engram had, what, 4 catches, but it was minimal yardage. Troutman had the big play. You got to figure out a way to get that tight end position, going, because that's going to create vertical and horizontal space for the rest of the passing game.
What is in your as far as analysis and stuff, when you look at Evan Engram, obviously banged up a little bit too, but all offseason we're hearing about the Joker stuff and how he's going to be kind of this multifaceted type tight end. What's 4 catches for 29 yards. I, looking at this game specifically, or any game coming up, I just want to see more of the potential plan for a guy like Engram.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ingram's been a guy whose productivity on a per-throw basis has been declining for like 6 years. I'm hoping that, you know, they didn't think they were getting the Evan Engram from half a decade ago. He can still be a viable weapon. He moves like a receiver with the ball in his hands. I just don't think they're doing it right. I think you need to bring him across the field on crossers, put the ball in his hands and let him outrun a linebacker, or get him lined up against a corner on a screen play and let him power over a corner. Those are the ways you succeed with him. So they've tried a few things, but I think that's probably your home. That's a between the 20s guy who can win with those two routes.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Defensively, again, almost perfection for the Broncos. Only allow 3 points to the Bengals, and you have that pass rush that's added again. You know, last year, what'd they have, Benjamin? 65 sacks last season, 15 right now, leading the NFL. Nick Benito, of course, already delivering on that contract extension. This defense maybe needed a game like that. Not that they've been bad, but I think we expected a lot from this crew early on, and they've been solid, but getting a game like that under your belt might be one of those kind of launching points for this defense that's expected to be one of the tops in the league.
Yeah, I mean, the worrisome thing was the Bengals kind of went down and marched down and got that field goal on the scripts. Now, they couldn't do anything else the rest of the game, but, they ran the ball, they threw the ball to the back effectively, and we're up against Saquon Barkley, who's a little bit better than Chase Brown this week. So that's one thing to kind of keep your eyebrow raised, keep your eyes on in this one. The Eagles' offense is fascinating to me. They're worst in the NFL in passing yards per game. They're exactly middle of the league in rushing yards per game, and yet somehow seventh in the league in points per game. They feast on turnovers, sustained drives. They take advantage of opportunities. So you're going to have to be – this defense is going to have to tighten things up. The penalties have got to go away. You've got to be a team that is perfect in every facet of the game. That's what the Eagles' standard is. That's why they won the Super Bowl. And the Broncos are going to have to emulate that part of their game in order to be successful in Philly on Sunday.
It is strange with the Eagles. Everything you just mentioned there. I mean, they're not dominating in any major stat other than, like you said, seventh in points per game. You know, Saquon Barkley hasn't really taken off yet. Those star receivers haven't really put together those monster games. But you got blocked field goals. You got blocked punts. Taking advantage of those turnovers. This is just a team that knows how to win by any means necessary. And we've seen that in these first 4 weeks.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's kind of the way you have to look at it right now. Kind of compared them to Kansas City last year, where you're like, oh, there's no way this is sustainable. They'll fall off any minute. And then you wake up and they finish the season 15-2. And the only reason they finished that way is because they played their backups in the final game of the season against the Broncos. They could have been 16-1. So, the Eagles, they find ways to give themselves the maximum amount of success. They play the percentages, things that we have not exactly done here in Denver. And so we see the results of all that play itself out, and I think we could do well to take that page out of their book.
What concerns you about this game? When you look at the Eagles, I've been talking about this week, is like, okay, they haven't really dominated in a lot of those areas that they dominate in. Is one of those games coming? That's what I worry about, is not only do the Eagles know how to win games, but they start getting everything else cooking. Do you see, do you fear something like that happening this Sunday?
Maybe. I mean, specifically with the run game and Saquon Barkley, we are the lightest defense in the NFL, and that, you know, that could present a bit of a problem against a guy like Saquon who's got speed and power. I don't think they're going to get the pass game going this week. You know, and Kevin Petullo is a guy who's just kind of failed up his whole career and found himself as offensive coordinator of the Eagles now. You know, I didn't think Kellen Moore was the be-all, end-all, but he had that offense humming. This thing is looks like something's missing. Defensively, though, they've got a lot of strength and power, and I'm concerned about the center position for the Broncos versus their interior defensive linemen who are animals. So, you know, there are some things that I'm definitely very concerned about when you look at the matchups here.
And the spread, we're looking at a Broncos 3.5-point dogs, Benjamin. How are we feeling? Broncos, that's the big narrative around the Broncos, is they're a good team that maybe can't beat better teams at this stage.
Yeah, that's kind of been the narrative on Sean Payton his whole career. He beats up on bad teams and pads the totals there and then loses to good teams. We'll see. I don't feel like this is going to be a win for the Broncos. You got a lot of things going against you. You're going west to east for an early game on a short week. I mean, you were playing Monday Night Football. They were already off on Monday, so they got an extra day of preparation. And you're leaving from there to head to London, so your eyes may be on that. It's just a lot of things stacked up before you even get to the on-field product for the Broncos. 3.5 spread, it seems about right. These teams are, neither one of these teams are blow the doors off your teams. They tend to play a slower pace, so the game probably winds up a little closer. If you get lucky in the turnover margin, you have yourself a shot, but I'm probably pegging the Eagles to win this one.
You like them to cover that?
At 3.5 is an interesting thing. Maybe. You know, I don't know. If the Broncos lose the turnover battle, they're not covering that. If they win it, they can cover it or win the game.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. A big test for sure coming up this weekend. Benjamin, my friend, always appreciate your insight, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, man. Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. All right, so he thinks it's going to be a close game. This is the thing with the Eagles. They do have that feel of the Chiefs from last year. You know, the Chiefs just won games. They weren't, like, Mahomes had one of his worst years as far as, like, stats and everything, but they just found ways to get it done. And then ultimately they lost in the Super Bowl, and now they're kind of in a weird spot right here. The Eagles are just intimidating because I look at teams when you find ways to win as opposed to dominating. It's like, well, wait, their studs aren't even really going yet. Saquon Barkley hasn't been the same guy that he was last season. Not bad, but he's not. The guy ran for 2,000 yards. He's got 237 yards. Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown haven't lit it up. You know, and A.J. Brown had to clarify his whatever his Instagram post was or whatever that was. I don't have it in front of me, but he said it, you know, none of it was about the Eagles and the organization, but it's like, man, when you have a 4-0 team and you have to have one of your best players come out and say, yeah, a post I made wasn't about my team. But what's fascinating is this team is 7th in points per game. Well, they've had a blocked field goal for a touchdown. They've had against Tampa Bay last week, they had a blocked punt for a touchdown. Special teams is a bit of a concern too. So that's where the negative side of my brain goes. Okay, we ain't seen nothing yet from the Eagles in their 4-0, and it's not like they're just beating, you know, lesser teams. I actually think Dallas is going to be okay. I know that's probably an unpopular opinion. They beat Kansas City, and I think Kansas City's probably going to be there at the end of the day, at the end of the season, they'll be at least a playoff team. The Los Angeles Rams, I know they lost last night, but I think that's a team that could do some damage. And then Tampa Bay. Those are all four, in my opinion, not everybody's opinion, all four of those teams should or might be in the playoffs this year. And then you look at it from the Broncos' standpoint, it's changed a little bit, but the Titans certainly a bad team. They're not going to be a playoff team. And the Bengals, the same situation. Those are the two teams you beat. The Colts and the Chargers, I think people are starting to feel kind of confident that they, certainly with the Chargers, although they lost to the Giants last week, but with the Colts, they might be a playoff team too. So these are the games, man. I mean, I've heard some of the narrative like, oh, you're playing with house money. You got nothing to lose. Everybody expects you to lose this game. it's just a foregone conclusion, so whatever. It's like a whatever kind of game. I don't know how you want to say that. I don't look at it that way. You know, if you're like Michael back there and your expectations are through the roof, then you need to go out and try to find a way to do this thing. Sean Payton's talking about Super Bowls and talking about Bo Nix being a top quarterback in the league. These are the kind of games in Sean Payton's third year now as head coach where you want to believe that they have a real chance, and that's a 3.5-point spread. So the wise guys certainly think they have a real chance. This could either go, okay, the Eagles still don't get those numbers up with their stars, and it finally catches up to them, and the Broncos win. Or this is a game where the Eagles finally get everything else going on top of just knowing how to win. And something else you got to watch out for. Did you see that against Tampa Bay last week? The fake tush push? Did you see that? I kept waiting for that to happen. And it was, you know, acted like going to just do your tush push, sneak up, get the yards. There's a pitch out to Saquon Barkley. Ran for a touchdown. So, I mean, they just have, they're just a good, well-coached football team. So it's going to be a battle. 11:49 the time. We'll wrap up hour number one. I got Ethan Bird joining me. Wyoming coming up against UNLV this weekend. UNLV's 4-0, but I don't know why, but it doesn't feel like they're 4-0. But then the Cowboys still have their issues on the offensive side of the ball. Let's talk to Ethan about that game coming up. Brian Howell will join us as CU and TCU square off this weekend. TCU is a pretty heavy favorite in this game, so we'll talk about that. We got the quarterback toilet bowl with Danson, with himself, Tanner Schwint. The dude down the hall will join me as well. We got that coming up. And of course, Michael, the picks. We're going to do the pressure cooker as well. This is a big, big weekend, especially tonight for the Colorado State Rams. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. It's Football Friday, presented by the one and only Big City Roadhouse.
City Roadhouse presents Football Friday on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Renaissance Insurance Group, they specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs, and also they're your go-to for farming operations. Insure those farming, all of your farming operations through Renaissance Insurance. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Yeah, very interesting weekend coming up that starts tonight for Colorado State and San Diego State. We've discussed this a lot and what this game means to the Rams. You got your, you know, 2 weeks ago, you made the quarterback change. This week, you kind of made a play calling change. Sounds like it's going to be Matt Mummy calling in the plays tonight. I guess my question is, when I look at this roster, if Mummy is going to go air raid style, which I would think it would be a mistake. And it's not to say you can't run in the air raid style. It's just you do expect a lot more passing in that kind of an offense. The Rams' best asset right now is their running backs. So I'm really curious to see how this plays out with Mummy, who does bring that background, but the best part of your roster is in the run game. And then Morley, you get that information. I believe he's out for the season. He's definitely out for tonight's game, but we'll get more details on that, I'm sure, next week. Just a lot of things stacking up against the Rams at this point in the season, Mike. And we've said it all week. When you get to that point in your season, when you're making quarterback changes, when you're making play calling changes, you got fans chanting negative stuff about your quarterback. I mean, it's all just kind of a rough look right now for Colorado State.
Can CSU find themselves?
I mean,
find themselves for the fans being so negative?
And they have to tonight. I think, obviously, so much goes into this game. If you can't win it, then I don't know. Are we having a conversation on Monday about Jay Norvell being done? Is he done? Is he actually fired? Or is it kind of the dead man walking thing at that stage? All right, Ethan Bird, Wyoming, going up against UNLV this weekend. We'll get to that coming up next. It's the whole show. It's Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.